Leviticus chapter number 2. Leviticus chapter number 2. We're going to talk about the meat offering tonight. We actually will just get an introduction. We'll not get very far because this is a pretty good sized chapter. I trust some of you went home and read it and looked at it and paid a little attention to it, and so you got a little bit ahead knowledge of it and got ahead of me to some degree. I want us to stand and read together in chapter number 2 of Leviticus. The Bible said in verse 1, "And when any will offer a meat offering unto the Lord, his offering shall be of fine flour, and he shall pour oil upon it, and put frankincense thereon. And he shall bring it to Aaron's sons, the priests. And he shall take thereout his handful of the flour thereof and of the oil thereof with all the frankincense thereof. And the priest shall burn the memorial of it upon the altar to be an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. And the remnant of the meat offering shall be Aaron's and his sons. It is a thing most holy of the offerings of the Lord made by fire. And if thou bring an oblation of a meat offering, bacon in the oven, it shall be unleavened cakes of fine flour mingled with oil, or unleavened wafers anointed with oil. And if thy oblation be a meat offering, bacon in a pan, it shall be of the flour unleavened mingled with oil. Thou shalt part it in pieces and pour oil thereon. It is a meat offering." You can be seated. Now tonight, looking at this, I want us to study some things out of the meat offering. Now the meat offering, it's a little bit confusing, I say. Calling it a meat offering, but there's no meat. It's not an animal sacrifice. It's fine flour. Now, this is a sacrifice that many people don't study much about and probably hadn't heard a whole lot about. But we're going to look at these five offerings in a overview to a little bit tonight. And we're going to look at some other things. And I pray that God might bless us with it. The first thing I want to notice in verse number 2, it said, "And when any will offer a meat offering unto the Lord." Now, it's got to be just like the offering in chapter 1. It's got to be willing. It's got to be God don't demand it. They don't have to do it. But God said when they do. And he's got his orders. Remember I said in the start of this thing, it's got to be done just like God wants it. Sometimes we think about rituals and little things that we get involved in and doing little certain things, and we get into it and we'll criticize that and be critical. But I want to tell you, God had an order for everything he done and does. And we've got to follow that same order or we'll get in trouble. Now back in chapter 1, we find in verse 2, I want to compare these two. He said, "Speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, if any man..." Now, I want you to say, and I want you to notice here in the Word of God tonight, he's talking about the heads of households. Remember, God put the man in charge, and God has kept that order. I want to share that with you tonight and keep that in your mind. We're living in a day when people don't teach the Word of God correctly, and they'll turn it around. He didn't say, if a woman, and you said, well, he includes them there. No, he don't. He said, if a man, and it was a man that was to offer for the household. All through the scriptures, you don't find it anywhere else different from that. Matter of fact, let me just point this out. The Bible said in verse number 2, if a man. In verse number 3, he said, if his, him, and he, and his. In verse number 3, all recognizing men. Verse 4, he. Verse 4 goes on to say him and him another time. And you can just read through that whole chapter. And every time it's he, him, he, him, his. God has laid it out for the man, you see. Now we get to chapter 2. It don't change. It says in chapter 2, "And when any will offer a meat offering unto the Lord, His offering. Now, we also, and I want to keep this up before you. If you go to the fifth chapter, you don't have to turn there, but if you go to the fifth chapter of the book of Genesis, which I call is the obituary column of God, you'll find that all the men are listed there from Adam down to Noah, and we'll see that, and it gives their children. Don't always recognize every child, but it says they lived so many years and they died. But it also says they had sons and daughters. Now, I want to remind you, and I preached this before, but I know it fits with this sacrifice. God does not mention the women, and it's not because He don't have any respect for women. He made them. Amen. God knows what He's doing, and He knows what He is doing when He did it. But I want to tell you tonight that He uses the men, and He recognizes that, and God did not recognize the women. Just a few in the Bible for specific reasons and purposes. God called their names and recognized them. So God, every once in a while, does. And I appreciate that. Because, you know why He does? Why He don't mention it? Because a husband and a wife, or a man and a woman, they're as one. And when He speaks to the man, He's speaking to her as well. You understand? So you remember that. You keep, somebody says, well, I just don't like that. God's a kind of a racist or a sexist. You can call Him what you want to, but you tell Him, not me. Amen. I want to tell you, we all see it about it. Even down to Noah's sons. The Bible recognizes Noah's sons and his three daughter-in-laws, but it don't call them by name. You see what I'm saying? And the Bible's that filled that way all the way through. Matter of fact, when the priest came through, it had to be a male. There was no female priest. There was no female prophets. I know everybody wants to hammer on my head and beat me up with Miriam as being Moses' sister, and how that she seemed to be like a prophetess to people. And then we get over to the judges, and you remember, amen, we get over that and find one of them is a woman. And I get kicked at and hit with. But I want to tell you, and I can explain all that tonight, but I'm not going to take time to do it because I want to get to the meat offering. Right. Well, that's what the subject is tonight. Now, let's look at these in the Bible as a heading. Number one, there's the burnt offering in chapter 1. We've dealt with it now with about three messages. And we'll go back to it again sometime, and we'll deal with it again as we go along. Matter of fact, we may deal with it a little bit more tonight. But then when we come to chapter number 2, there's the meat offering. Now the meat offering is different than the burnt offering because it has no meat or no animal sacrifice. It's all flour, and it has to be fine flour, and we'll talk about what it really is in just a minute. When we get to chapter number 3, we find another offering, and it's called the peace offering. Amen. We need to have a few of them. Peace offerings. Now, that's not trying to be between countries. It's between people and God. So we find the peace offering in chapter 3. And we'll look at the details of the peace offering when we get there. When we get to chapter 4, we'll find the sin offering. And I call the burnt offering in chapter 1 a sin offering as well. If you'll notice, I declared it that. Yeah, you don't see it particularly. But it's a sin offering for the lost. That burnt offering is to get saved with. That's the offering that's made for sin, the sin of unbelief. But when we get to chapter 4, it's a sin offering for an individual when an individual sins. God made provision even in the Old Testament for His people when they committed some kind of sin. Study that out. We'll talk about it when we get there. And then when we get to chapter number 5, it's called the trespass offering. And that's when we got problems between one another. Amen. Now we have all that today, don't we? And people not paying much attention. You know, people sit on church pews, won't talk to each other for years, and just declare and claim that they're all right with God. Can't be. Can't be. If there's anybody in you, you got aught in your heart with tonight, you're not right with God. You said, no, preacher, it's them. They're not right with God. No, it's you. Amen. I've got people tonight that's not right with me. But that's their business. As far as I'm concerned, I have no problem with them. Amen. I don't have to walk down another aisle in Walmart when I see one. I don't have to kind of hold my head down driving down the road and hope they don't see me. Amen. I wave at everybody. Speak to them. I may not see. I might hi-hat you, but it won't be because I'm mad at you. It's just because I don't see you. Amen. So now let's go back to verse 1 of chapter number 2. And let's look at this. There, I just kind of give you these sacrifices. Now, we have in these sacrifices some that are with blood and some that are without blood. And we got to specify this one in chapter 2 is without blood. It's fine flour. We'll talk about that. Now, what happens in chapter number 1, that's where we get our redemption. We were saved by His grace. Now, we come to chapter number 2, and we'll find that it is a meat offering and is offered with fine flour. And what that is a type of giving our person and our possessions to the Lord Jesus. Well, let me kind of look at this. Chapter 1 deals with justification. Chapter 2 deals with sanctification. Now, you can't get sanctified till you get justified. Now, what's justified? Being saved, just as if you'd never committed sin. Forgiven. But you know what happens? Cain, I thought about Cain in studying this. If Cain had offered that offering, when he went there and offered the first fruits of everything he had, and he had been offering it as a meat offering, God would have accepted it, amen, as a meat offering, amen. But if he hadn't had the burnt offering first and his sin put on the blood, it wouldn't done no good. You understand what I'm saying? But what's happening today, and we see it across our land, when we get to chapter number 2, you can't offer a meat offering to God until you have offered a burnt sacrifice or got the burnt sacrifice applied. Amen. Jesus is the burnt sacrifice. He's the offering for our sin. Amen. We know that. And we see it all the way through. But we've got to have Him in our heart. We've got to accept Him and through His precious blood before we can step to chapter number 2. You remember what Romans chapter 12 says? In chapter 12 and verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now what's God saying? That we are to present ourselves. Now after we're saved, we can do that. But if we're not saved tonight, we can't give God everything we've got. So what happens? God says, when you get saved and birthed in the family of God, now I want you to give me your possessions. You give me your soul. Now I want what you have. Amen. You understand what I'm saying? And what we're coming to, you've offered yourself and your person, but now I want your property. Amen. You said, preacher, you mean the Lord wants everything I've got? Did you hear me well? God wants everything you've got. And if it ain't no good, you better let Him get rid of it. Quit hanging on to it. Amen. God wants us to clean house every once in a while. Every now and then we need to clean the trash out. Amen. Now I don't know about your place, but if you don't take the trash out every once in a while, you've got a problem in a little while. Amen. And if you just keep on, the bugs and the rats will eat you up. You got to get rid of the trash. Understand? And that's basically what this meat offering is doing as we look at it tonight. We'll see in the burnt offering we get full pardon and we get full acceptance. You see, we offer our soul. And then in chapter number 2 with the meat offering, we offer our substance, what we have. Amen. Now you see what's happening? There's a lot of people that are trying to clean up the outside of the cup. They're trying to turn over a new leaf in their life. They're trying to change and do better. They're trying to quit bad habits and take on good habits. They're trying to quit cussing and lying and cheating and stealing. Because they think if they can get rid of that and get all that done, they're going to be accepted in the beloved. But the Bible says we've got to come through the blood first. All those old bad habits that you throwed in the trash and quit doing, and you're sitting over the side and saying, I wish I still did. Amen. You give up your cigarettes and quit smoking. And then after a meal, you said, I wish I still had a cigarette. You didn't give it up for God. You understand what I'm saying? You're trying to clean the outside up and make it look better. And our churches are filled with people that's doing that today, trying to do good deeds and baptism and join churches and all those sort of things and do good works. What they're trying to do is get the outside of the cup cleaned up. But you can't do that and then get the inside. It's got to be cleansed first. And then you can lay everything on the altar for the Lord. You give everything to God. The Bible teaches us in the Word of God that we're being bought with a price. 1 Corinthians. Amen. We're not our own. We've been bought with a price. So we belong to Him. He's ours. And give God the glory for that. Now, we're seeing all that. Now, I want us to turn back. Well, let me give you what we find in chapter 2 and verse 1 before we turn. In chapter 2 and verse 1, and this is about as far as we're going to get on the meat offering, because I want to go back and get some things that needs to be settled and show you the importance of this. Now, we're studying this, and you said, oh, we don't need to study all that. We're not giving offerings. But I want to tell you something. If you don't get the meat offering, the burnt offering, the peace offering, the trespass offering, all those offerings settled in your heart of what they were, you're not going to have an effective life for Jesus. You got to know what they are. So we make an application. This is not something that's popular. It's not something that people desire. It's not something tonight that I'm preaching on that people hunger after. Because this gets rough. These sacrifices gets rough. You know what a sacrifice is? It's giving something and getting rid of something. And it hurts to sacrifice. Did you see in chapter 1 how that they cut that sacrifice into pieces? And that's a type of Jesus. But if we're going to lay ourselves on the altar for God, we're going to have to sacrifice ourselves, and there's got to be some cutting. The Bible teaches us that we are to be crucified with Christ. And by the way, we can't crucify ourselves. You've heard me preach this before. You may drive one nail in one hand. You might drive one nail in the other, in one leg or in your legs. But you ain't going to get that third one. Somebody's going to have to help you. And that's the reason Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. And I want to tell you, it's going to be Christ that's going to crucify you. Amen. And so when you do that, that's a type of death. There's some price to be paid. There's some pain to be taken. There's some sacrificing. There's some, you know, some giving. And it don't feel good to give sometimes. Understand? Now, when we look at chapter 2, verse 1, and when any will offer a meat offering, he's talking about the meat offering, any will offer a meat offering unto the Lord, his offering shall be of, and here's three things that he has to bring. Number one, fine flour. We're going to talk about fine flour. We're not talking about just flour with lumps in it. You've heard me mention this before. My mother, when I was a kid, had a cupboard over here, and Daddy would go get a sack of flour. We didn't buy it by the little bags, you know. Daddy would go buy a sack of flour, because back yonder we eat biscuits. You ladies don't know much about that anymore. Pillsbury Doughboys do that for you now. Or McDonald's or Dairy Queen or something. And not too many biscuit makers anymore. Amen. It is kind of troublesome, isn't it? Well, guess what? We find here that these biscuits and this bread that brought this flour, it had to be fine. Mama would go over and pull that flour tray open. Daddy would put that big bag of flour in there and usually take the sack that it was in, was a floured sack of some kind. And Mama would make a dress for my sister. After she got the same, she'd say, now when you go back to the store, get another bag of flour. Here's the pattern you got to get. I got to have another sack of flour to finish that dress. And they'd go back and hunt that bag. Y'all ladies remember that? Well, anyhow, they had down at the bottom a little sieve, had a little handle on it. Remember the little handle? Mama would go over there, pull that little old cap off the bottom. She'd put the bowl under there, and she'd go to doing this. And that flower would come out kind of fine and pretty, you know. And after they'd get all that flower out of that cabinet, and you could look in there, Mama would clean it out. Look in there, and there's old lumps and chunks and everything else. I believe part of it was sweeping off the floor. I'm not really sure. But they'd take that. And what happens is, that's fine flour. It's civet. Now they had to have, I mean without any impurities or any imperfections. Can I tell you tonight that God's sacrifices need to be holy sacrifices? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. Understand? God put it in there. So we're not away from the scriptures. So the first thing they had to have is fine flour. The second thing they had to have is they had to pour oil upon it. They had to have some oil. This is olive oil. They'd use that oil. That's the basic oil of Palestine back in them days and still today. You go to the Holy Land and they got all kinds of olive trees. Never will forget the first time I ever seen an olive on a tree was in Jerusalem. Or in the Palestine. It wasn't Jerusalem. It was one of those of Tiberias, I believe it was. And we saw it. Went down there and saw. And I looked at them and I thought, hey. And I didn't know they had pits in them. I couldn't figure why they, when you buy them at the store, they had a hole in them and a little pimento pepper in them. But I found out right quick because I bit down in one of them. That pit's hard. And so I looked at that. And I'm saying that they had to have oil. Oil is a type of the Spirit of God. He takes that flour, fine flour, puts oil. And third, and we're going to deal with this one as we get into this study. There was frankincense. Had to give frankincense. Does this make sense to you tonight? Do you understand a little bit about what's going on? Well, let's go down into the book of Exodus. Before we got to Leviticus here, God had already laid out the order for this through Moses. We're going to the 29th chapter of the book of Exodus. And we get to the 29th chapter of Exodus, we're probably not going to get off of that. We're not going to get through with it. We'll just find us a place to quit and we'll come back and pick it up. Now, God has His order. Matter of fact, I want to back up a little bit and get into chapter 28, to the last part of chapter 28. And this has to do with the garments. And I looked at this and I thought, boy, this would be good to throw at you folks tonight. I'm not trying to be mean, but we just need to look at this stuff. The Bible said in Exodus chapter number 28, verse number 39. Exodus 28:39, and thou shalt embroider the coat of fine linen, and thou shalt make the mitre of fine linen, and thou shalt make the girdle of needlework. Verse number 40, and for Aaron's sons, thou shalt make coats, and thou shalt make for them girdles and bonnets, shalt thou make for them for glory and for beauty. Now all I'm going to read is that tonight. I want to tell you this, when you come to the house of God to do a service of God, I think you ought to be your best. I think you ought to wear your best. Amen. I don't think everybody has to be dressed to kill, but I think you ought to wear the best you got. Amen. And so that's why, I don't get up. I know preachers that'll go to the pulpit and they won't wear a tie and they had me come to preacher revival up the road here. And I went off up there and went down in. I thought I was going to have a Jeep or a four-wheel drive or something to get down there to it. Old country road, wrapped around, went around a cemetery or two. And I thought, these people die before they get to the church and they bury them. And I got on down there and pulled up in the yard. And I was on Monday night to start a revival. And I walked up there and four or five men is out in the yard of smoking cigarettes. And the pastor standing out there with them. He wasn't smoking. He might have been, but I didn't catch him. But anyhow, I looked and I got out and put my coat on. with my tie and started walking. And I looked, and there's not a one of them. Not a one of them with a tie on. Not even the pastor. And I'm looking at them, and they're looking at me. And while I'm preaching that night, I'm saying to myself, they're sitting there thinking that I'm way up in the up on the upper echelon, and they think I'm one of them fancy preachers. And I had a little complex, and then I looked at them, and amen, they give me a little complex. Amen. And I know that I give them a little complex, and here we are. Amen. And I thought maybe the next night I might take my tie off. But I did help them a little bit. I loosened it. But I believe we ought to have the best when we go to the house of God. Amen. Now we get to chapter 29. Moses is going to tell what's going on a little bit about these sacrifices. And not only with just the sacrifices, but the ones that do a sacrifice. When we offer something to God, we better make sure our hands are clean. Because our sacrifice, if we're offering a sacrifice to God with dirty hands or a dirty heart, it's not going to get the job done. You see, we approach the altar. We're to approach the altar. Sometimes we need one thing. We need a cleansing from God before we even get any further. Don't even think about asking God for something if you've got sin in your heart. He teaches us in His Word that He will not hear us if we regard sin in our heart. And so we better be careful. Chapter 29 of the book of Exodus. And this is the thing that thou shalt do unto them to hallow them. Now remember chapter 28, we're talking about the priest. There's one high priest. His name is Aaron. His sons are the priest. Amen. They're the ones that do the work. Aaron is the high priest. Now this is going to give you the order for sacrifices. I've got these things circled and marked all the way through this chapter. And I'll point them out as we go to them. And this is a thing that thou shalt do unto them to hallow them. Hallow. Hallow. You know what that means? To make them holy. Right? First thing God says, before you offer a sacrifice, make sure the ones that's offering a sacrifice is holy. Now remember that when you offer the flower, so to speak, of chapter 2 of the book of Leviticus. If you're going to offer a sacrifice, and of course we don't offer sacrifices like bulls and goats and lambs and fine flour. But we do offer, in this modern day, God is not looking for those sacrifices. He's looking for you and me to lay ourselves on the altar. We are the sacrifice. And God wants a clean sacrifice. God's not going to be able to bless you and touch you till you get that old filthy mouth cleaned up. Now, first of all, you got to get saved to get the heart clean. But He's not going to use you, and you're not going to be able to get anywhere with God till you get that filthy mouth and that filthy mind and all those old bad habits and things that you do out of your life. I realize today all of us got little things that nobody knows anything about, but those are the things that needs to be taken care of before God. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you don't hear this kind of preaching in most of your churches. But that's what happened. When you approach God, God's looking for a clean sacrifice. Whether it be you or an animal. We don't offer animals. We offer ourselves. Now the Bible said, to minister unto me in the priest's office. What are we going to do? He's going to tell us what they're going to do to make these priests clean. Now, if you're offering a sacrifice in that day, and you're bringing it for your family, and you're bringing it to the altar to be offered. When you bring that offering to God, when you bring it to God, and you've got everything cleaned up, and you're trying to do it with all your heart, and your heart's clean, and you offer that to God, you wouldn't want the priest to be dirty and ungodly and unholy. You'd want him to make sure that that blood is going to be accepted at the mercy seat of God. Amen? And so that's the way it is. All of us need to be clean. Now, he said, take one young bullock and two rams without blemish. And then he tells them what to do. Take one young bullock and two rams without blemish. Now this is, some of it's going to be a burnt offering in this scripture and some of it's not. We have to read and see what it is. Then in verse number 2, and unleavened bread. We know that's not a meat, that's not an animal sacrifice. That's going to be that fine flour. And unleavened bread and cakes unleavened, tempered with oil, and wafers unleavened, anointed with oil of wheaten flour shalt thou make them. He even tells what kind of flour. You see what I'm saying? God wants it just like He wants it. You try to deviate. You said, I don't have that kind. I'll have to do. No. You got to do what God said do. Now verse 3 said, and thou shalt put them into one basket. Not talking about the sacrifices now. He's talking about the cakes and the things that's made out of the flour. And thou shalt put them into one basket and bring them in the basket with the bullock and the two rams. They got the bullock. Now, if you remember, in Leviticus, they offered the bullock. And then they went to the rams and the sheep. Two different ones. So God is offering this. And we'll see He's offering a bullock, a young bullock, it said, didn't it? And then it said in verse number 4, and Aaron and his sons thou shalt bring unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and shall wash them with water. Amen. Ever wonder why the Muslims and some of those tonight are so particular about the little rituals that they go through? Sometimes I've even seen people laugh at them. Well, I understand them calling on Allah. You can call on anybody you want to, but Allah's not God. They say He is. And Allah don't have a son by the name of Christ. Amen. But I'm trying to tell you this. They go through the rituals. Not only do they put their little pillow or cushion or whatever it is down on the floor, put their knees on it and make obeisance to God or to Allah, not God, but to Allah, who they call God. But before they go in the temple, they'll take their shoes off. They'll wash their feet and they'll wash their hands and face, and then they go inside the temple. And they're going under the order, and not just because God said it here, but they're under their little rituals, and people laughed at that. We went to the Holy Land and people laughed at them. And they had their little fountains out on the outside that they sat down and washed with. And they made us go in barefooted. And here we went in and looked around, and here they are worshiping. Well, I want to tell you, some of these things, these rituals that they did, is basically what they were doing with the Israelites, except it's in a different manner. God said, I want you to bring them priests with a ram, or two rams and a bullock, and the flour that they're bringing and the cakes that they've made, and bring them, and at the door, they're going to wash them. Not the sacrifices, they're going to wash them. In other words, I want my priest clean. Are you kind of getting an idea about the seriousness of these offerings in the Old Testament? God's not playing. We're living in a society, a day today, and I know it's the day of grace, and I say hallelujah. I'm glad we're not under the law. But I want to tell you tonight as I look at this, God wants us to do it right. And He said, and thou shalt take the garments and put upon Aaron the coat and the robe of the ephod and the breastplate, and gird him with the curious girdle of the ephod. Now they're going to do this on Aaron because he's the high priest. They washed him. They cleansed the priest. Now you see what I'm talking about tonight? God wants clean men to carry and do His work. Amen. And if we got clean men, we won't have to worry about the women. They'll follow. Amen. They may rebel a little bit, but hey, it's hard for women to live ungodly around a godly man. And vice versa. Both ways. It is. You take a man that's serving God, living for God, and she recognizes that. I've even seen households split and women take off because they did not want to be under such holiness in their home. Amen. They walk off and leave. I've seen that. And so God will take care of that through those men. These are some good teachings out of the Word of God, by the way. Listen. He said, "And thou shalt take the garments and put upon Aaron the coat and the robe with the ephod and the breastplate and gird him with the curious girdle of the ephod." I mean, he dressed him to a T. "And thou shalt put the mitre upon his head and put the holy crown upon the mitre. Then shalt thou take the anointing oil and pour it upon his head and anoint him." You remember they talked about the oil that run down on Aaron's beard? The anointing. Oil is a type of the Holy Spirit of God. It's a type of anointing. We not only need to be cleansed, but we need to be anointed in the service of God. Now, I hope this don't choke some of you, but amen, we'll see the seriousness of this if we'll look at it. God just don't play around with us. Now, I know we're in a day of grace, but God don't want us to live haphazard. God wants us to live clean, consecrated and dedicated. Now, in verse numbers 8, he said, "And thou shalt bring his sons and put coats upon them. And thou shalt gird them with girdles, Aaron and his sons, and put the bonnets on them. And the priest office shall be theirs for a perpetual statute." And that is the sons of, you know, the Levites. Amen. And so we find, "And thou shalt consecrate Aaron and his sons." Now, you might not have seen it then, but there's a word jumped out and slapped me right there. In verse number 9, and that's what this meat offering is about. And if you look at it, it said, "And thou shalt consecrate Aaron and his sons." There needs to be a consecration. And that's what the meat offering or the flour is used for consecration. Not only do we need to go to the altar to get saved by the grace of God when we're lost, but there's times that we need to come to the altar and consecrate ourselves. Amen. In the average church, people think the altar is all it's for is for lost people and people who have lived terrible. But what's wrong with you tonight to sit there and think that you don't need anything? I want you to know none of us in this building is perfect. Some of you have had bad thoughts and bad deeds today. Nobody knows anything about. Wouldn't it be good if you just come to the altar and consecrate yourself with the flour or the meat offering? Present yourself. Amen. Well, I'm going to have to quit right there because we got a stopping place. And see, we got a long time to go in Exodus 29. You go home, you read it. You're going to find several offerings in there. The sin offering. You're going to find the wave offering. You're going to find the other offering. There's even a drink offering. And we'll talk about them when we get there. You understand tonight where we're coming from? I'm not trying to confuse you. But I want us to get this right. This is a sacrifice of consecration, dedication, and sanctification. And so we're starting our study on that, and we'll be on it for a little bit. All right? That help you? Amen. Let's bow our heads as we begin to sing and stand in just a moment and ask the Lord to help us tonight.